Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, with a special edition of Alex and Drew Rank the MCU, we're looking at Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Let's go.
I knew there weren't enough syllables.
That's perfect.
That's why I did it. We were just talking about if this gets launched as its own standalone podcast, maybe we would come up with new theme music. And I think I just proved we don't have to.
Yeah. This works for every project we have going forward. If you somehow haven't listened, this is a double drop. So we just recorded a comic book only coverage of House of M from the Marvel event from 2005, the first four issues of which we will cover again next week, finishing out that event. But we are experimenting to see, maybe does Alex and Drew Rank the MCU need to spin off into its own podcast? Because there's a whole lot of you that do like the comic movies, but just don't really read the comics.
Yeah. So we're going to give this a shot. And if you end up finding this and you're like, man, I love this. I mean,
some more your speed.
Yeah, not that I don't like comic books, but I love that you just drop me right into the MCU action. If you do like that, then please, there's a link to the two-man Discord down in the show notes, and I really hope that you will join it and let us know, because if nobody responds saying, hey, that was great, then
we don't know
that this is something that people want. But now in the year 2023, there are options for us to start podcasts for free. That was always the reason we didn't have all these other spinoffs in the past, but we can do it for free now.
Yep.
So there's no reason not to package it a little bit differently if that's going to serve our fan base better.
Yep. So it might become a two-man comic book network.
Yes.
With a bunch of subsets of podcasts. Before any of that, though, we still only have one podcast, and it would do a lot of good to go and give us a review on Apple Podcasts. Go like us on our social media channels at Two Man Comic Book Club at most places, Two Man Comic Book on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. With the numbers, too.
With the numbers, too. Help us spread the love of comic books and comic book movies. And join our Discord, where we like to chat with you guys about all sorts of nerd stuff, not just comic books, but it's been a little more buzzy in there lately.
Yeah. There's an Alex and Drew Rank the MCU channel on there, where sometimes whenever we watch these, we give you heads up so that if you're on the Discord, if you wanted to, you could hit play right along with us and engage in the live chatting.
Yes.
We don't do it for all of them because sometimes we just don't think about it. But if this spins off into his own podcast, I'm sure that we would do that.
Yeah.
And
you do not also have to be an expert. Correct. In comics or MCU to do that. You know, we're not here to make anybody feel like they don't know anything. It's just enjoy the media and talk with us.
And if you end up listening to this and you're like, hey, I liked that, I want to be a part of that, one of the best things you could do would be to just tell a friend.
Yes. Right?
Specifically, since this is kind of a new start, a possible new start for how things might go. So if you do like this, then we're also watching the analytic numbers of how many people listen to this. So if you're like, hey, I know they're starting on Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but check these guys out and then give them a link to this episode you're listening right now.
Yeah, there's also a chance that we will go back and not just like extract the audio where we had two, Alex and Drew Rank the MCU as a segment, but where we actually go and kind of refresh ourselves on each film and go back
Iron
and
Man
go
one.
With a little more depth and what we actually thought, because it kind of opens up and we don't have to share airtime talking about the comic books as well. So
yeah, it's not like we're going to start this podcast with Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
This is just a chance to, this happens to be where we are in the continuity right now. So, by the way, if you're still listening, thank you. But yeah, we will, if people dig this and they want this, then we'll go back to the beginning.
Gotta let us
know. And give you an episode for all of them. All right.
Let's start, since we have some time, and do a little recap on some of the positions and where they're at and where we think this might add up, because we have not actually like fully discussed each other's scores on this.
Yeah.
So right now, of films that we have watched in order, let's see. I'm not going to say where I'm at overall, but Captain America Civil War is in my first place slot, followed by Guardians 1, and then Captain America and the Winter Soldier for third place. Mm-hmm. Going into this, I'm I'm going to guess that it doesn't break into the top three.
Yeah.
If I'm like not, you know, thinking about where I haven't like looked and done the math yet. I'm kind of like skimming, but, you know, doing this. Not because I think it's a bad film, but those other three are really, really good.
Yeah.
And but also, Drew and I discussed this on previous issues. We're about to get into just like the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
I mean, the all-state team here.
Yeah.
And I guessed earlier when we were doing this that this would be my least favorite of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, when we watched it, it was pretty good.
Yeah. By the way, we are launching into Guardians 2 right now.
Yes.
I went in. This was one of those, by the way, something that we would also probably talk about if we launched this off into its own spinoff thing.
Yeah.
We made an initial ranking, like based on F of everything we had seen up to that point. And I think that was like probably around the time Black Widow came out.
Yeah.
So we have a lot that aren't on there. But I didn't check it for this, but I remember thinking, man, that's a pretty good movie, but I didn't like it as much as a whole lot of other ones because I just felt like, I don't know, the whole ego planet thing, it was neat, but there was a lot of it that it didn't feel like it fired on as many cylinders as Guardians 1 to me.
Yeah.
But whenever I started ranking it, maybe that was not the case.
Right.
You know?
So what did you think about this film? Before we get into the actual scores of stuff, mm-hmm. what were some highs or some lows? And then maybe we can kind of like reinforce those thoughts with our scores.
I will start by saying something that the Guardians films have, and I'm excited to see if they push this on with Guardians 3. Something that I love about everything about Guardians is the soundtrack.
Yes.
Like I went into Guardians 1 thinking, what is this? This is probably nothing. I've never heard of these people. This is going to be dumb.
Uh-huh.
And then
I think just, the whole world thought that.
Yeah. And then they just leaned in. And then on top of that, like as I'm watching, I'm like, man, this music is well curated. So I bought the soundtrack to number one and like devoured it. A bunch of like 70s, maybe early 80s favorites. And then number two.
They did it again.
We get awesome mix number two, you know, because at the end of the first movie, his mom had given him a new tape.
Yep.
That he didn't unwrap until this moment. And it's just like a whole bunch of new music. And I had both of these albums on my Amazon Music list, like, because I bought them actually, and you know I would just listen to them nonstop. They're like my running music and everything. So like I already had a connection to the music. So as I'm rewatching it, I'm like, oh, the music hits even harder.
Here's a question that is maybe slightly also a weird paradox, but not really. The closing song on Guardians 1 is what?
See, I don't know.
It's the Jackson 5. Which
ABC
one is it?
123?
I think it's ABC 123. But he listens to it from the new mixtape that he received and just opened from his mom at the end of that movie when he finally opens that package that she gave him in the very first scene.
Yeah.
Is that song on mixtape 1 or mixtape 2?
I don't remember because
in the first movie.
Yeah. I listened to them
in continuity.
I don't know because I basically listen to them one after the other,
right?
And I think I have a playlist that's just a mixture of the two, mm-hmm. so I'm not even necessarily listening to them in order. It's just Guardians.
The song doesn't show up again in Guardians 2, to my knowledge, unless it's I don't remember.
My guess is that's on the first soundtrack, but I don't know.
That is insane.
I don't know.
They're breaking my brain doing stuff like that.
But yeah, so like I go in thinking, man, I went to number two,
uh-huh.
expecting the music to be awesome. I also went expecting like it to be fun and funny and like colorful and just, you know, different than a typical superhero.
Let's
movie.
Talk about the funny real quick.
Yeah.
I was laughing during this one much more than I ever have watching it. Something about the comedy, the jokes were just hitting for me. Like everything, I don't know, it almost feels silly that I almost feel like I fell for some of the jokes because I'm like, is that funny? But I couldn't help it.
See, Drax was absolutely on fire in this one.
He's hilarious. Yeah.
I didn't rank this one on humor as high as I did the first one.
I think it's my highest one.
See, Guardians 1 got a 10.
Yeah.
This one got a 9 because there were some jokes that Nebula made that just did not hit.
Yeah.
And in my ranking of humor doesn't come from like the overall, like how many jokes.
It's
when it's done, how does it deliver?
Right.
And maybe they tried to play Nebula off as this dweeb that didn't quite get humor.
Yeah.
But like even that, like almost every time that Nebula made a joke, I was just like, I can't give that as high of a score as the first one. But like,
do you think the one with the root was funny? She finally takes a bite. I laughed at that.
See, it was okay, but I was like, if that had been in Captain America movie,
yeah,
it might have been funny. But she's put up against Chris Pratt,
sure,
and Dave Bautista, mm-hmm, and Groot,
yeah,
and what was Bradley Rocket. Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper's very funny.
All those people, I'm just like, so yes, this is very funny.
Yeah.
And it's still, let me see.
I gave it 0.1 point over Guardians 1, which was my leading.
It's third in humor because I had Ant-Man also a 10 because mm-hmm, it was funny in a different way.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I do still think it was hilarious and I loved it. And if I weren't actively rating these,
yeah,
I probably would have walked away that was hilarious. That was just as funny. But every time Nebula made those jokes that didn't hit mm-hmm as well, I was just like, oh.
Yeah. That's hard to do, right? Is not getting your own way when you're rating these things and still letting yourself just enjoy the movie.
Now, this is just something I thought of.
Uh-huh.
Something that we don't have a rating for that if we had added it would have been a 10 is ensemble chemistry for this one. Like they had a lot of chemistry in the first one,
but
they were more developed in this one. And the addition of Mantis mm-hmm was perfect. And Nebula was good for the ensemble, the way that she interacted. Mm-hmm. But ensemble, it doesn't come much better than this in my opinion.
Let's talk about the looks, the video of this stuff. Again, very, very, very strong color grade throughout the whole thing. I actually put this barely above Guardians 1. In several ways. It's just the richness of the tones and the hues of the colors they use and still leaning into a contrasty look much more than the rest of the MCU combined, mm-hmm, minus Guardians 1. They just kind of kill them, man. It's mm-hmm interesting to look at. The framing, the composition of shots also very strong. If you're this is a hard one to do if you're not into the film world at all and actually thinking about framing, right? And the composition, what do we mean by that? The actual structure in which the shot is laid out. They're looking through a camera. Where are things going to be placed in space on the camera? How close is this to the camera versus this backdrop versus this character versus how does this prop or this design frame things? They're just very thoughtful throughout this entire film. There's lots of beautiful shots on Ego's spaceship. Just the Ego planet itself is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. The shots with Gamora sitting by herself in that open field before
that
Nebula.
Was really nice.
So beautiful. And then that leaned into a bunch of sound design stuff too, which I also ranked higher than a lot of this for just spatial awareness and stuff like that.
Yeah. I will say, I have the color, this one and Guardians 1. I just gave both of them a 10 just because I thought that they were both awesome. And yeah, I've got the composition, edit, all that stuff pretty high mm-hmm as well. CGI, I think I gave this one a 9.
Yeah.
The only reason it didn't get a 10, I think, was I can't remember why. There was now I remember. I gave Doctor Strange a 10 in CGI. Because we talked about this at the end of the episode. Whenever we talked about this, there was only one spot and Doctor Strange where the CGI made me go, oh, that wasn't as good. And it was whenever the hallway was turning and he looked like a ragdoll.
Yeah.
But that was literally the only time that I ever had to question the CGI choices of Doctor Strange. The rest of it was just beyond reproach.
Mm-hmm.
For this one, it wasn't that anything was bad. It was just that I never saw CGI that made me go, whoa. I mean, it was good.
I had a few of those moments. The texture at which Rocket is portrayed in.
If we're thinking,
he looks like a. I mean, I can't imagine if somehow in our world we could just make that there. Mm-hmm. That's what it would look like.
Yeah. I guess I hadn't thought about that. Because for him,
his whole character is
CGI. It was
CGI.
Done so well that I didn't question it. You know,
and
just like
Groot.
Same with Groot. Those are, you know, maybe I do need to go through and change that 9.
I've given out 2 10s, yeah, and it's for both Guardians films.
Okay.
Because I agree with you. Doctor Strange was very high on my list, but at the same moment, mm-hmm, if any point the CGI takes me out of it, I can't quite put it there. But these two, I mean, there's so much. The planets, ego, mm-hmm, transformations, the big fights at the end.
Yeah.
Like crazy. The thing about this, the, I got to know how they did this. There's like a villain monologue of Ego at the end.
Yeah.
When he's just like,
growing his parts,
growing his body back. Mm-hmm. Well, a body back. I mean, yeah, it's just kind of something he puts on, but going from, like a structured nervous system into adding a skeleton and flesh, all CGI. And it looked fantastic the whole, yeah, way through. Yeah. It's just strong. Yeah. All the space stuff. Beautiful, beautiful film. I am leaving some room,
yeah,
on the color grade, which I graded at a 9.5 here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious once I get back to it what Eternals is going to do for all of this stuff. We have like director Chloe Zhao, who like kind of prides herself on, mm-hmm, like just beautiful sweeping cinematics and like the true imagery of cinema.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of something she leans into. I'm kind of wondering where that's going to fall in this category.
Well, let me ask you about one that I don't know, maybe I was a jerk on, but, mm-hmm, where was your plot?
I gave it an 8.5.
Okay. What'd you give Guardians? 1.
It was slightly higher at 8.7.
Wow. So Guardians 1, I just went ahead and gave it a 10 for plot, uh-huh, just because I loved every second of it.
Yeah.
I gave this one a 7.
Ooh.
Just because, I don't know, like, I enjoyed so much of it, but there were so many times. It's similar to Ant-Man,
right,
in that like I kept like, I didn't love Yellow Jacket,
mm-hmm,
as a hero or a villain.
Yeah.
And in this one, Ego just got on my nerves.
Sure.
And like, yeah, I understand, but like, that's what I walked, and I have a feeling it's because I walked in thinking that Ego was going to be really lame,
mm-hmm,
because that's what I thought I remembered. But as I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, it's not too bad, but I had a hard time separating myself because I knew what was coming the whole time. And I don't know, there's just the whole, what were the gold people called?
The Sovereign.
The Sovereign. Like, I don't know, that was more of an annoyance to me,
sure,
anytime they came in than anything. I don't know, I just,
yeah,
maybe I tanked it too much on the plot, but I just.
Maybe not, I mean, it's.
I enjoyed everything like that wasn't plot related.
Yeah, it, I enjoyed the layers of it. So there's a lot more going on, right? A lot more depth.
Yeah.
Whether you like what's happening or not. I mean, so we have just the main plot line being that they're just kind of doing a job, right? And they, mm-hmm, get in trouble with the Sovereign and Peter's dad saves them. And now we're trying to like figure out, is this actually his dad? And then the through line of it's a ploy, right? It is his dad, but he's trying to get him so he can do really bad things. But then we have the plot of the Sovereign trying to get back the,
mm-hmm, the batteries.
What does he call them? Arbulary.
Harbulary batteries.
Harbulary, yeah, batteries from Rocket that he stole.
Yeah.
We have the plot of Yondu trying to get back in good graces with the Ravengers.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like these kind of subplots that really turn into character development moments for Yondu and Rocket, Drax and Mantis, which, mm-hmm, I think now watching this, I'll be very surprised if we don't see some romantic stuff going on there, okay, at the end, especially after watching the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas thing where they're also, yeah, together. Yeah. And then he ends by calling her beautiful, you know, finally, which, mm, is like one of the jokes, right,
yeah,
on the inside.
Yeah.
But there's that. There's the trust stuff between not only Gamora and Peter, but Gamora and her sister Nebula.
Yeah.
The trust between Groot and Nebula, Rocket and Nebula. There's just lots of complex layers here. I think it was bold of them to try to kind of put all that in there. It hits with varying degrees, right?
Yeah.
Even Yondu not just trying to get back in good graces with the Ravengers, but also trying to get back in with his team, yeah, who kind of has a mutiny on him.
I would have almost just rather seen more dig into the Ravager side.
So too much for you, probably.
No, I wanted more Ravager stuff.
No, I mean, overall, having all the other stuff was too much.
Yeah.
Like, you would have rather picked a few and then kind of, yeah, leaned into the Ravager thing more.
I think so. Just because I felt like, yeah, we got to see a decent... there was so much development with Yondu, mm-hmm, that I wanted more of it. And we did get kind,
right,
of to see a little bit of that with the holiday special. Just like kind of like the story that was going into it. But
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. I think... there was just so much strong about this. Like, it still ended up pretty high for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the humor was funny. The music was good. Coloring, all that stuff. It's just...
What was your lowest score?
Plot, representation, and continuity all had sevens.
I give the continuity a pretty good score. I gave the representation a 5.
Yeah. I was just looking at it thinking...
That's the same score I gave it for Guardians 1.
Mm-hmm.
Except in Guardians 1, I think there were, I don't know, more people of color.
We had the addition of Mantis this time, so it got a little bit better. But I don't know, yeah.
It seems just like missed opportunity, right, for a film that, in my mind, would be so easy. Like, there's so much makeup and stuff anyway. Not that you need makeup to cover up anything for representation, but just like seems like low-hanging fruit that was just left on the tree. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Probably the worst part of this whole thing, I mean... And again, I'm not the person that's like, well, every single movie better have somebody at the table to represent everything. But, you know, that is an important part of cinema, and that we're making sure that all people are represented in varying capacities. And I care about that stuff greatly. And this one just kind of didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I didn't do too much with the continuity because I didn't feel like it pushed all that much. Like, we developed the world more. We understood. And there were some additions from... with end credit stuff that was important, but it was like, okay, we're just playing in the same sandbox that we built in the first one. So, I mean, yeah, sure.
That's always a hard one to do because
there was the mention that Ego was a celestial.
Right.
Do you buy that?
I guess it's just one of those Liberty things they're doing. Yeah. You know, they can just be like,
and it might just be like, I'm of the stars.
Right. So they're kind of expanding on what that actually means in the universe.
What'd you give Action? I gave it a 7 also because it was all right, like, but I felt like most of the action was just CGI based.
I gave it an 8.1 compared to Guardians 1 being an 8, so just barely more. Because I was high praise on the CGI of Rocket so much, and then his action scenes taking out all those Ravagers in the forest by himself, like, was a really cool moment and done extremely well.
That was like the most intense moment. I mean, the conclusion. But like I said, that was more just like CGI.
I also like seeing Gamora get to kind of be a badass a little bit in the middle with her sword.
Yeah.
Like run up and kill that big beast.
By the way, also, best intro sequence.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were talking about it.
Mr. Blue Sky.
Jump on the Discord and tell us if you remember something else. But we had an actual intro theme with the theme music and the title cards on Hulk and this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if we had one anywhere else.
Right. I can't recall one.
And Hulk was just like, whatever. We're going to show a little bit of backstory with some headlines and stuff. But this was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had Groot, little tiny Groot the whole time, and an awesome piece of music. And just the fight.
You know, that's James Gunn doing the dancing group.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they tracked his body for the one where he's kind of doing the hand waving stuff. That's James Gunn.
Yeah, so
very strong intro sequence.
And the end titles, like the end credits, the way that they had, it felt like I was watching like a mashup between the Brady Bunch and vinyl record jackets and just funny stuff. Like, they used every second of that film to continue developing these personas.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Yeah. It's a solid for sure. I'm trying to think of anything else. Comic book references, fan service, post-credits scenes.
We had like 4 or 5.
There were a lot of them, and they're pretty significant.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, I'll give you 5 seconds to fast forward in 20 seconds. This is known that Will Poulter is playing a character in Guardians 3 by the name of Adam Warlock, which was teased at the end of that. I think he is going to be extremely important for the MCU moving forward, more than anyone can possibly know. And he is teased. I mean, he's extremely... I'll just say this. When I saw Guardians 2 and heard her mention the Queen of the Sovereign, Adam, I was like, oh, there's 0% chance that we don't see him in the Avengers Infinity War movies. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just going to happen. And then he didn't show up for any of that.
Yeah.
Extremely relevant to the same story in the comic books. Like hugely irrelevant. I mean, the Soul Stone's in his head, sort of like Vision has one. Mm. He wields the Infinity Gauntlet. I mean, he's a very important character. So I'm very curious to see what they do with him moving forward. Maybe they just wanted to let James Gunn be the one to introduce him. So overall, what is your gut feeling or your gut reaction and then your final ranking and score for this film?
So my gut, I ended up putting it at an 8.5. Okay. And at this point, my highest gut is Captain America Winter Soldier. Oh, sorry. Guardians of the Galaxy 1 at a 9.5. Winter Soldier is a 9.2. And so this one is... Oh, wait. No, I'm wrong. Man, I need to learn how to read. My highest gut is a 9.6 for Civil War.
Yeah.
And this one is several down at 8.5.
Right.
So for my final score...
Your score ended up being...
This ended up being set at fourth. So I've got Guardians 1 as number 1, Civil War as number 2, Winter Soldier as number 3, and Guardians 2 as number 4.
With a score of what?
Oh, sorry. With a score of 82.47. By the way, Doctor Strange is an 82.42. So it's like 0.05 from Doctor Strange.
Very close. Cool. So I ended up with an 8.9 as my gut reaction with a score of 88.31. So very close to my really gut close, reaction. Yeah. And then that actually put it in third place. Wow. It actually beat
Winter Soldier. Wow.
Very barely. Winter Soldier, I have that at, where are you? 86.42 compared to the 88.31 of Guardians. Yeah. So my first place is Civil War, then Guardians 1, then Guardians 2, and then Civil War.
Wow.
Yeah.
So by the way, my Winter Soldier is 82.73. So it's only like 0.3 ahead, less than 0.3 ahead of Guardians 2.
Yeah, we're getting into these like razor thin margins. Yeah. It's going to be splitting hairs. I'm really trying to lean into these decimals moving forward.
Me too.
I'm also like trying to figure out how I feel about these. Like,
yeah,
I feel justified, I think, in the bulk of my scores, especially like subcaptions. I don't know if this will, when I'm done with this, if I'll look at this and be like, that's the exact order that I would want to watch them in.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what my gut ranking is going to be.
Right.
Like, once we get all this done, I want to like figure out the algorithm to have the gut just in order right next to this so that we can compare it and know. But yeah, because I there's some of these that I look at even now, like currently Captain America First Avenger is sitting at 11th. And I feel like that's a strong movie, but it's only going to get worse.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And like same thing, Avengers is below Ant-Man and Doctor Strange. And I keep questioning, is that legit? Like Alex and I have talked before about like maybe we need to constantly go back and rewatch the Avengers. Like every phase, rewatch the Avengers just because that seems to be the one that's the bubble. Because
for a while it was sitting near the top for both of us.
Now it's sitting at 7th.
Yeah, but we're just in this slugfest of movies right now.
And we haven't even gotten to the Spider-Man movies. We haven't gotten to the Infinity Saga.
We have Spider-Man War. Homecoming coming next.
Yeah.
I will be surprised if that's not in first place for me.
Yeah. Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther,
Infinity
Far
War.
Far From Home, all of the TV series, No Way Home. Like, what?
Yeah, it's going to get, we're going to be insulting some really good films eventually.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's got to be a winner when it comes down
to
it.
So, do you want to insult some really good films? Join the Discord. Well, there's a place on there where you can download this ranking and do it right along with us.
Yes, do it. It's a lot of fun.
And like we said, seriously, if you've made it this far into this episode, then maybe that means this is something you dig. Please, like we said, share it with somebody. Let us know if you like us literally just taking the MCU stuff out, talking about it by itself.
Or do you prefer having some comic stuff with it?
Yeah. But yeah.
Cool. Any closing thoughts?
I'm super excited for Homecoming.
Oh, man.
Like, I think in the gut rankings, the pre-rankings, just based purely on memory, before we embarked on this whole thing, I think all three, well, I don't know if we had three Spider-Man movies at that point, but the two Spider-Man movies we did have were like probably...
First and second.
Either first and second or in the top three.
They're really good.
I feel like
good.
Infinity War or Endgame... It was like Infinity War, Endgame's Homecoming, and Far From Home were probably in the top four in some order.
And it's possible that that's close to where they end up.
Yeah. So that means even though Guardians 1 is currently sitting number one with a score of 92.93.
It's going to be like your 10th place
film. Yeah. Like, what is that? And I seriously, I still feel like Guardians is one of those that I will always watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
we're getting into the end of the thick of it, my friend.
Yeah. Cool. Why did Marvel have to make so many movies that I like?
I wish they'd just stop.
Oh, there's some people that do feel that, yeah. I'm sure.
Cool. Well, if you like this, please do all the stuff that'll help us share this podcast. Like and subscribe.
Join the Discord.
Join the Discord. Can't follow us on enough. Our social medias. Be on the lookout for a lot of exciting things. We have a lot of cool stuff in the works. And please just reach out and just talk to us. You don't even have to tell us how we're doing. Just enjoy this cool art form and love comics and comic book nerd movies with us. That's all I got. We'll talk to you next time.
I'm sorry. I'm supposed to hit this button.
I'm talking and wasting. There we go. We'll talk to you guys next time. Have a good one. Bye. It's only been 20 episodes. Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris. I can't
stop. If we do end up releasing this as its own podcast, I wonder if by the time we go back and start over with Iron Man and catch up to this moment, will you still have that cough?
Probably.
I hope not. Hey, everybody, join the Discord. Ask Alex for his address and send him some cough drops.